We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders on this Palm Sunday. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Jesus died with a bruised body and a broken heart. What caused the broken heart? That's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as we find ourselves in this Holy Week, we pray that our thoughts may be turned to Calvary's cross. Help us to understand, Lord, that it was there You were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. It was not only the physical suffering, it was a broken heart. Help us, O God, today to understand what broke that heart, that we may once again realize how much You love us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Friends in Christ, at the beginning of this series of sermons, I read a quote from Rick Warren that came from his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. In it, Dr. Warren says, "Since God intends to make you more Christ-like, He will take you through some of the experiences Jesus had while He was here on this earth, those of loneliness and temptation, stress, physical suffering, and now today, total rejection. Rejection is rough on all of us. I know grown men can cry when they are rejected. I didn't see him cry, but I had the feeling that John Dean had a spirit of feeling rejection when a few weeks ago he was on Meet the Press. If not, and I just read into it, he would have a reason to be, for Mr. Dean said words to this effect, that I would like to have been the candidate for my party, but they chose somebody else. That's rejection, when they say, no to you, I want somebody else. Now, there is no question that Jesus died with a body that had been beaten, but he also died with a heart that was broken. We know that it was the Romans under orders who beat the body. And if you've seen The Passion by Mel Gibson, you have a terrible understanding of, an awful understanding of what really went on, how he did suffer for us. On the other hand, who broke his heart? And that's what I'm concerned about today. It is revealed in many ways in the scriptures that Jesus died with a broken heart. It says that he came to his own, and his own received him not. Can you imagine being rejected by your own people? Another time, St. Luke writes in his gospel, Jesus stood there and said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would love to have gathered you under my arms like a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not do it. That's rejection. I believe that if we could have a conversation physically with Jesus today, he could say to us, well, I am crushed when people reject me as their Savior and Lord because I can make such a difference in their lives. To be rejected by one you love is so very, very painful. And Jesus could go on to say, I hate to see people wasting their years or just walking around and really having no primary goal in life. And then above all, it's heartbreaking to see somebody enter into eternity where he or she has to stand before God on his or her own merits. That is heartbreaking. Notice how Jesus expresses these feelings. And now today he expresses them by telling a story that shows the dynamics behind what happens in his life when people say no to him. The parable is found in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 2. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calf have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention, and they went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to the servants, look, the banquet feast is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people, all that they could find, both the good and the bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. That's the parable that Jesus told. Now, he told that in Holy Week. He was in the temple court, and he was getting the ire up of some of those who were in charge of the Jewish religion. So one of the high priests came and said, by what authority are you teaching and doing these things? In other words, he could see that Jesus was presenting himself as the Messiah, and Jesus was not the kind of a Messiah that those people wanted. But here is the story. The man had prepared a wedding feast for his son. He had people out delivering the invitation. Came to the first group, they said, absolutely, we don't want to have anything to do with it. In fact, I wonder if they said anything. They just turned their back and went on their way and laughed and probably, to put it in modern terms, could have said, what a bunch of nuts. Then he sent out a servant, and they said, well, no, we're not going to come. We're too busy. And some went off to their fields to work, and others went off to their businesses to work. And again he sent out some more servants. And these servants were badly treated. Some of them were killed. And then finally Jesus said to those who were with him, "Go out into the highways and the byways and bring in people. For my banquet feast is going to have capacity crowd." In other words, he turned away at that time to simply the Jewish race, and he turned to the Gentiles. Paul puts it this way in the first chapter of his letter to the Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." Notice, who believes. You have to believe the gospel. It isn't just to hear it. It isn't just the fact that Jesus suffered, died, and was raised again. You and I, by the grace of God, have to believe this. And believe it from our hearts. It was for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and then also for the Gentile. This message that is found in this parable, it was for the Jewish people, to be sure, but it is also for every person. It has now become historical. It has been proclaimed in every generation for the last 2,000 years. The invitation is for you, and it's for me. And it is still for the Jewish people. God never turns his back on anyone until they breathe their last. It is for people of all races. It is for people of all nationalities, social status, financial state, education. It matters not. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. Notice the invitation is to a banquet. It is not to some drab kind of a life. It is to a life that is filled with joy. Oh, sure there are tears. Sure there are hard knocks. Sure it is very difficult. Sure it is right that we will go through the same sufferings and we will carry the cross, as did our Lord Jesus Christ. But underneath it all, it is a banquet. For we walk with the Savior, and we know that our sins are forgiven, and we know that when going gets rough, he stands there to strengthen us. We know that he will never leave us. That's the banquet we are invited to. And yet we have to say that the masses of people who hear this gospel message, "Come, and I will give you rest," turn their backs, walk away, say, "I want to have nothing to do with this message." But there are those who are very anxious to do something about it. And that is a group of people who are the servants in this 21st century. It is the servant who is really anxious to get out and tell other people what Jesus Christ has done for him or for her. But the point of this sermon, then, as we go along the experiences of Jesus and what he had and what sent him to the cross with a broken heart was a rejection, can be some of the same experiences that you and I have as witnesses of Jesus Christ as we seek to convey this blessed message to those who are round about us. It is not easy to hear people say again and again, "I simply do not want to have anything to do with this gospel. I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus Christ." I am reminded of two examples. The one is a mother who one day in a conversation was responding to something that I had said in a sermon. She drew me aside and we had a rather lengthy conversation. She said, "You know, I'm very concerned. My husband and I are committed to Jesus Christ. I think we are well-rounded Christians, and we believe that the Holy Spirit continues to do his work in our hearts." She said, "We had three children. All three of those children have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. My question is, where did we go wrong? She responded to several of my questions, and she said, well, when we had them, we committed ourselves. We prayed for these children. They were going to be raised in the faith. And so she said, we did as quickly as we could begin to teach them how to pray. The Bible was read consistently in our home. We had all of these little children's books and went through them all. On Sunday, we not only sent them to Sunday school, we took them to Sunday school. They were in their classes, we were in ours. We went to church together. And that's the way we lived. There was not very much rebellion. Our kids were always ready to go to church and Sunday school. We had a good church. They were interested in the youth activities, we thought. They went there anyway. And then it was time for college, and we spent the extra money to send them to a private Christian school. But they gradually got out, and they walked away. Oh, when they come home, they're lovely children in some ways, and they wouldn't hurt their old father and mother. And so they go to church with us. But it is very evident that there is no relationship with the Lord. What did we do wrong? Obviously, I didn't have any answer for that. And if you're wondering that as you listen to this program today, I don't have an answer yet, except I would say this. You know, God has said in His Word that when it is planted, it will not return void. So I said to the mother, it is possible that you will never know that your child has returned to the Lord Jesus. It is possible that he may or she may not. But I believe that the invitation is still ringing in the hearts of those people. They are hearing Jesus say, come to me. Come. And they continue to turn it off for one reason or another. But let that day come when they understand that they cannot walk through life alone, but they must have a Savior. Then watch the Holy Spirit bring them back. There is always hope. There is always peace when the invitation has been extended. The other case I have is a man who is extremely concerned about being a witness for Jesus Christ. He didn't want to be obnoxious about this because he felt that could turn his fellow men away. So he has gone through some rather intensive evangelism training courses. And he says, I think that I'm doing it as I'm supposed to be, but maybe I'm not, because they still continue to be very hard. And you could see that this person's heart was really crushed. In other words, they were rejecting his message. He hurriedly went on to say to him, they aren't rejecting you. They're rejecting the Christ to whom you invite them. Yeah, sure. As we walk through life, we experience a loneliness. We experience temptations. We experience stress. We can experience physical suffering. And if you are a dynamic witness for Jesus Christ, or even if you are just a plain witness, you can expect rejection. This world, people, does not care about this gospel. And all we are the voice pieces. And the Holy Spirit does a work. We just extend the invitation. And then we leave the rest to God. Understanding that when that invitation has been given, it is good as long as that person breathes. And only after he has breathed his last is the invitation withdrawn. It still stands. That's true for Jew and Gentile. This week we will relive the horrors of Good Friday. That's where he paid the price. And next Sunday, we will come to celebrate the glories of Easter and the risen Lord, who is still saying, go into the highways and the byways and tell the good news. For I love all and would have them in my kingdom. Amen.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord, my Lord? Oh,
were you there when he rose up from
Father in heaven, we pray that it may be a blessed week for each and every one who comes to your house. We pray that in the churches the word may be proclaimed with all of its truth and its purity, and Christ may be lifted up as the crucified one. We also pray that you will prepare our hearts, Holy Spirit, that next Sunday, God willing, we may come to our places of worship and join with all the people of God, to sing our praises to you, the risen Lord. Help us to understand that that will mean victory, victory over sin, death, and the devil. Come, Holy Spirit, and do a mighty work in the hearts of all, beginning with your people in the church. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May God's richest blessings be with you this week. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write, call, or email our office and tell us what station you listen to. This helps us to know which radio stations are being heard. All listeners who respond will receive either a CD or cassette featuring Reverend Larson's 6 Biblical Teachings of the Christian Faith sermon series. Please write or call us this week to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, to share with us the station where you hear Christian Crusaders and whether you want a CD or cassette of this special gift. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 42 years.